What didn't happen during the eclipse? Jesus didn't come back. There wasn't a big judgment event.
Like, I've looked at the state of the world the last couple of weeks, and I'm like, maybe it is time that God comes and punishes us for our evil. Like, maybe it's time. Like, you know what? Maybe we need to get back to this vengeful God, like, smite us. Like, yes. I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe we really need to consider that.
Yes. Haven't we done enough, Lord?
Exactly. Like, so you know what? If we needed this event to trigger it, I mean.
Welcome to episode 287 of Pup Theology Live, a weekly conversation on life and faith over a craft brew pint, a fine wine, or whatever happens to be in your glass. On today's episode, Reverend Shannon Weston and yours truly, Reverend Brian Burkhoff, will address and engage what's happening through a theological lens with, I think, a good brew in hand. No Ogun today. We miss him. He is in transit, part of his, you know, international lifestyle. But did you know, whether you are a longtime listener or are new to the show, you can get even more content by becoming a supporter of PT Live on Patreon. And for just a few dollars a month, you'll get access to pre and post show banter, merch like this awesome Pub Theology Live pint glass, and more. And you can sign up for that at patreon.com/PT Live, and big thanks to our current patrons.
So friends, we are going to be live at the Goose. We will be at the Wild Goose Festival July 11th through 14th. It's at Van Hoy Farms in Union Grove, North Carolina. And if you are going and you haven't bought your tickets yet, you can get $50 off the price of an adult weekend ticket by using the code A-SW24. That's A as in, you know, the best number, the first number, A1, and then SW is in Shannon Weston, 24. There you go. Cause the Wild Goose does crazy things like that. we are excited to be there. We don't know what day we'll be in the Goose tent yet, but we will let you know as soon as we know that information. Today we're discussing all things eclipse, plus maybe the silliest of all the things people have come up with Jesus. This one cracks me up. Was Jesus vegetarian? We're going to discuss.
Right.
So in order to discuss, let's have some brews. I think we're both brewing today, right?
We are.
Brewing? Great. What are you drinking, Brian?
So we were just in Chicago for spring break, and I picked up a little hazy IPA from Maplewood Brewing in Chicago, and it's called Juice Pants. So it's hard to see, but you know, yeah, I know.
It's interesting that they have a straw coming out of the top of the pants, and that they chose to put a straw in it at all. I mean,
why is there a straw coming out of a pair of?
I mean, because it's a juice box, but it's a juice pants.
Yeah, they're going for the juice box vibe, but somehow I'm not sure.
But with, yeah, but they shouldn't have.
They should not have. But
that's a no no.
It is a no no. But aside from the name and the drawing, it's a beautifully yellow orange can and a really delicious hazy IPA.
The can makes it look citrusy. Like it makes it look like it's going to be citrusy.
It is.
Have you had it yet? Maybe it is.
I have. Yeah. It is a bit citrusy. It's tasty.
So it is springtime, which means my favorite Union Brewing has brought back my favorite beer of theirs, which is Mountain Girl Hefeweizen. They have a new label. This is my favorite labeled beer. This is their third iteration of it.
Yeah. It keeps changing.
I know. And this is better. This is back to the more original one, but it's still not as good as the original. And they make these for the Baltimore Bluegrass Festival, which is really exciting. But it is a great Hefeweizen. And if you can find a mountain girl, you know, grab one. You won't regret it.
But, you will not regret it.
You will not regret it, both in women and in beer. So
boom.
They're special, special creatures.
Love it. All right. Yeah. Let's compare the body, the color. What do you got there?
Yeah. We're on, like, mine's lighter.
Yours is a little lighter, but similar color.
Well, it's similar color, but yours is hazy and mine is not. Mine's correct. More translucent.
Correct. And mine is more hops. But
yeah, know. It's weird. Like a Hefeweizen looks like almost like a Pilsner, but totally not.
Right. But yes, totally not is right. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, that's good.
On to today's topics.
Okay, so we had a monumental event yesterday, depending on your perspective, but as citizen of Earth, particularly in our country and a few others, you perhaps witnessed the eclipse yesterday or whenever you're tuning into this past Monday. So, Shannon, how and where did you experience the eclipse?
So we were in the range of like 20 to 40%. So we definitely had an experience of it, but not in the totality.
Yeah. I heard DC was 87%. Does that
so
sound?
I don't know what that means.
It means the sun was 87% covered. So there was like 13% not covered.
Right. So I guess I think that 20 to 40% is the not covered part.
Yeah. Like, that's right. So It was like 60 to 80.
Yeah. So It was like 60 to 80% covered. I don't know what event, like what it exactly was. Like Pittsburgh was like 97, 98% covered, you know. But I didn't get glasses.
Oh, my word.
And immediately regretted it. But I did sit outside during it. I did not look at the sun.
Smart.
I enjoy it because it just looks like somebody turns the sun down a little bit, like it's on a dimmer.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's that when you're not looking at what's happening, that's what it feels like what's happening. I will say, like, the dog and the cat went a little crazy.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was like, at first I was like, you're reading into this. Like, they're not, like, they're fine. But then I, like, for the eclipse and like the hour or two after, they were a little off. And anyway, so that was weird, but that's how I experienced it.
Yeah.
But you were probably better than me and you had glasses. So,
well, Christy ordered a couple and then I had to pick up my son from school, like right before we got home with like 10 minutes to go before our peak coverage and they were handing them out. So we had a couple more. So nice. Detroit, the other side of the state, was at 99% coverage. So almost totality. But on my side of the state, we were like 94, but pretty good, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
So we went out back on our property by the pond because I don't know. That felt like a good spot to go. And I thought maybe there'd be a cool reflection, but it was windy. It was really windy. So the water was wavy and there was no cool reflection.
Gotcha.
But like you said, so we're driving home like 3:10, I think was our peak. We're driving home at like 2:55, getting there at 3:00. And you could it felt hazy out. Like it was like a weird filter. Like a weird light filter was making the light just feel and look different. And so that was fun. And then look, you know.
And it definitely got cooler.
And it got cold.
The temperature dropped. Off. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We dropped, it felt like 15 degrees. I don't know if that was accurate, but it definitely got cooler. I super like, I don't want to burn my eyes. So like, I did look through the glasses like twice, but fairly quickly. It was cool. I saw it. It was mostly covered. You could see the sort of the mini crescent left of the sun. Mm-hmm. That was cool. But mostly I was interested in the change of the light.
Yeah.
The birds didn't get quiet because it didn't get dark enough. Even 6% of the sun, I thought it would get darker. I thought, like, you don't even need that much sun. And that's how powerful it is that it's not nighttime like where people had the total eclipse and could see stars. Like, we didn't have that.
No, we didn't have that either. My ex-husband took my son to, they went up to Northern Vermont.
Oh, yeah.
And so they saw, and like, he was texting with me, like, before and after, like, obviously not during, but he was so excited.
That's
and he
awesome.
And I was like, after, I was like, I really hope it, cool. Well, because I was like, I hope it's clear, because we were a little bit cloudy, but you could still definitely see what was going, like,
yeah,
the pictures from around here, you can definitely see it, but it's thin clouds.
Yeah.
But I was like, I hope it's clear. He's like, it's completely clear. And so afterwards, I was like, I hope it was everything, you know, for you. And he was like, it was everything. Like, he was like, it was so much more than I could have. Like, he was so jazzed. So I'm happy for him.
And yeah,
for people that really get into it, like, we had one here. We had a partial here in like 17, and like, we had glasses and everybody went outside and watched. But it was kind of like, I looked through the glasses and I was like, that's cool. What do we do for the next 7 minutes? You know, kind of thing. Like,
right.
Looking at it again. Oh, that's cool. Like, you know, I don't know. I hate to say it, but.
I was getting a selfie of you and the
bed. Hold on, let me turn my glass this way.
Oh, yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah, anyway, so, I'm very happy for people who are very happy about these things.
Yes, right. I feel the same. Like, I kind of was like, I had a friend, because Monday's my day off, so I could have like driven to Indiana or Ohio.
Yeah.
And a friend suggested that. And I was kind of like, I don't know. Like, it's for me, I don't really care that much. Mm-hmm. But some people like were like, this was life changing. I already know where I'm going to be in 20 years when we have the next, you know, whatever. And I'm like,
right.
I don't know. Like,
cool, guys.
Great. Have fun.
I'm super excited for you. Go for it.
So, what didn't happen during the eclipse? Jesus didn't come back. There wasn't a big judgment event. But some people of faith, you know, believe there are a number of scriptural references to an eclipse. And so some people have said, is this, you know, marking the second coming of Christ or some other judgment? For example, Isaiah 13 says the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger. And one of the signs will be the rising sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And after that happens, God says, I will punish the world for its evil. And then Jesus references this exact text in Matthew 24, talking about the coming of the Son of Man. He says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I don't think most people associate Christians who are anticipating a rapture, associate mourning with, you know.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, it's, those things didn't happen.
Why? Because we have to stop our wicked ways. Like, is that why we mourn? Like,
right.
I mean, I don't know. Like,
are you reading the postscript?
No, I did, but I'm sitting here like with this, you know, I will punish the world for its evil. Like, these things were written. This is what we were talking about in our house with like our animals going a little batty, was like, if you don't know what's going on, that's creepy as hell.
Yeah.
You know, like
the world is ending.
What the hell is happening right now? Like, you know, how is the sun going away? Like, I mean, I, of course you're like, what is just what's going on? And I don't know a lot of, I mean, I'm not an astrology, but like, I don't know a lot about the magnetism and how it affects our bodies when things, but like, it can't be nothing. It just can't be in my mind. Like,
right.
There is some force holding all these planets in motion and doing all of these things and whatever. And the idea that I could just walk through life completely unaffected by that is silly to me, you know?
Yes.
And I have no idea what those things are or
Right.
whatever.
Well, and they say like where there was totality, like the animals do react a certain way. Well, you noted your pets, and like they say the birds and the bugs get quiet.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for that. Our birds were loud as hell. They were like, but I think they were distressed. I think
Yeah.
like something isn't right. And there was a lot of bird chatter, and there was hawks
Well, it's
soaring
like,
overhead. Like, I'm like,
but
uh-oh, they're
birds are
looking.
louder in the morning and in the evening when the sun is going up and down. So that's probably so they got louder because it was like the sun's going down or something, you know.
It could have felt like dusk.
Yeah. I don't know. Our animals like legitimately just could have gone crazy because our animals are crazy. So whatever. Like because they were like, you're home in the middle of the day, you know, who knows?
But you wonder
like,
about mood, physiologically, like chemically, what impact is
yeah.
there on all creatures when this happens, something like this?
Yeah, so I just do wonder about that, but I also sit in that I will admit, so maybe it's because, you know, things are in retrograde or whatever, but like I really like I've looked at the state of the world the last couple of weeks and I'm like, maybe it is time that God comes and punishes us for our evil. Like maybe it's time. Like, you know what? Maybe we need to get back to this vengeful God, like smite us. Like I don't know. Maybe we really need to consider that.
Haven't we done enough, Lord?
Exactly. Like, so you know what? If we needed this event to trigger it, I mean, you know, it there, although I will say, like, you know, whether it was yesterday or this morning, but it was like Israel's, you know, withdrawing some of its troops and whatever. And I was like, oh my God, what just aligned and made that, you know, happen or whatever.
No doubt. Like, and also, as you said, like at the time they're writing this, they don't have predictive models. They don't know this is coming. They also associate, God or the gods with things happening in the stars and in the sky in a way that we don't today. And so when they know, like they didn't have watches, but they could tell the time of day. And when it suddenly goes dark and then animals are reacting and it's not evening yet, what the holy heck is going on?
Of
And
course.
yeah, of course you ascribe instantly to it a divine meaning.
But like, look at how we lost our minds over it. And like, I don't even care. And you know, but I went outside and I thought it was super cool. And I blah, blah, blah. Like, and I don't even like, I cannot imagine. Of course, these are signs of the apocalypse to people. What I don't understand is saying then it's a sign for the apocalypse for us today.
You're like,
Like,
but we do not live
right.
3,000 years ago.
Exactly. Like Isaiah gets to feel this way. Even Jesus gets to feel this way.
Even
I don't know that
Jesus.
we get to feel this way.
Now, there were people, I was listening to some NPR's coverage, and they had people in different parts of the country, and there were people who were like weeping, like over
Yes.
like how it impacted them. And like, I was thinking of all the loved ones that I wish were with me to experience this, and I'm thinking about who I want to be with for the next one and where I want to be. And for me, I'm like, oh, I didn't really give it this much thought. Maybe I'm just, maybe I'm missing out,
But
but
we are meaning making people. That is what we do. We
yes.
like, and we love an opportunity to pause and reflect. And like, so as we let's be honest about this, right? But as we become less and less religious as a people, we still need that pause and reflect.
Yes.
So if that comes with an eclipse, then let's let it come with an eclipse.
Yeah. And it's communal, right?
I don't know. Like you and I don't need, it's communal, right? Like you and I have those experience outside of an eclipse. And I'm not saying those people never do, but like I think there is some real, like we're, I think what that shows is that we're missing that. We're desperate for it, you know, for pausing, for reflecting, for communal activity, all of it.
I think that's 100%. And like so many of the photos I saw people post were of them experiencing this with a group of others. And,
yes.
and that that was the power in it. Like, we're all here for this moment. It was so cool seeing the reaction on my kids or my neighbors or these strangers that I happen to be in the same place with. I think that's, like you said, we give it the meaning that we need to give it. And
yeah,
and that's powerful.
Like the neighbors three doors down were outside with glasses.
Yeah.
And I, again, I didn't feel the need to, but I knew in that moment, like, these are neighbors I wave at, you know, things like that, but I've never had a conversation with. I knew I could walk three doors down and say, guys, I didn't get any glasses. Can I look through yours? I knew I could do it in that moment.
Yeah.
And that I had all the permission.
And no one would be like, who is this person? They'd be like, awesome. Come on. We got, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, here, look, it's super cool. Like, absolutely. They would have.
Yes.
And like, again, that's what we're missing. That's the moment we want, you know.
And I love those. And I love those things, right? Where there's no excuse mm-hmm. needed to talk to a stranger and instantly have common ground, common experience. And isn't this cool? Like, that's a beautiful thing.
Right. Right. Now, unless they start telling me that this is the sign of the end of, you know, the coming of Christ and the end of the world, then I might say, thank you for the glasses. I'll be back over at my house. But nonetheless.
Right. Right. And also, we can find that in spiritual communities. Often sports will do that. I think as a nation, we just collectively had the greatest women's basketball tournament in terms of people tuning in ever.
Yes. And 24 cool. million people.
It was awesome.
24 million people tuned in. Oh, it was fantastic. It was so good too.
I went to a local brewery specifically to watch the game. They're like, what's on today?
Oh my goodness.
But they put it on for us. And then a bunch more people came. And I was like, you could have packed this place out if you would have advertised. We're showing the women's national title game. I'm like, why? I'm like, I brought friends, so you're welcome. But like, you could have had a packed place.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. No. And actually last night was kind of a letdown.
I didn't even watch the men's.
I didn't watch last night at all. I didn't. Yeah. I mean, I know I've said this on the show, like, because we watch so much NFL, when it comes to March Madness, we watch women's.
But you guys are ahead of the nation and the curve on that.
Yeah, we've been watching for years.
Yes.
And unfortunately, my cards went out in the first round, which
my team too.
Yeah, which, but they like, but mine shouldn't have.
Well played. Well,
anyways, but they did. So anyway,
did you have a rooting interest in the final?
You know, it's funny. So my grandfather went to the University of Iowa. So I thought that I, but, you know, and it's not that like South Carolina were underdogs by any means, but I love their coach so much.
Well, she's awesome. Yeah.
I love her. And
they were not underdogs at all. They were undefeated and favored by like 7.5 points or something.
Absolutely. But because Caitlin Clark, so like attention wise, but they were not, that's what I was saying. Like, they're not underdogs at all, but I love their coach so much. I want her to have a lot of success.
Yeah.
And Caitlin Clark's going to be fine, you know?
Oh yeah. Exactly.
Right. Like, yeah. Yeah. So, and actually like, it's one of those, and I hate to say it this way, but like, she's still going to be the number one draft pick. She's still going to be, you know, all that thing. So like, she's going to get hers.
Yeah.
And it may fuel her.
I went in. Right. And I went into the game thinking they might put up a fight, but South Carolina is just better. They are the better
team.
South Carolina,
and they showed that they were better.
But when they came out of the gate 10-0, I was like, all right. Okay.
Yeah. Right. No. But they, as someone who regularly watches the Ravens do that, you know,
Not always. Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. And ironically, that's the place I watched the Lions take a 24-7 halftime lead in the NFC Championship. And then the second half happened.
And then the second half.
So that's two consecutive sporting events in that venue where I loved the first half and wondered about the second.
So you should go there when, you know, you need someone to lose.
Yeah, I need to reverse fortunes. So anyway, so back to Eclipse. There was a woman in Florida who claimed that she was directed by God to go on a shooting spree during the solar eclipse, shot two people. I believe neither was killed, thankfully, but and she was apprehended. But are you kidding me?
So first off, the eclipse wasn't even near Florida. let's first.
Maybe she was mad about that. Thanks, Ron.
Second off. It's funny, the next one, because I've already seen the like where the one in like, is it 2043 or 45, something like that.
Something like that.
But where it's going to be, and it's like all of Florida.
Oh,
and
no. Like,
oh, no. God.
That is the apocalypse.
Yeah, it's like Texas and Florida. And I'm like, oh, my God, the world's going to end.
That is Judgment Day. Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
No, I mean, there's a clip from the Daily Show of like Fox News talking about how many immigrants are going to cross the border during the 4 minutes of totality.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like stuff like that. Like people are just there. And he was like, wow, Fox News. He was like, yeah, because that's their only opportunity to cross the river in darkness. Like,
right. No one will see us in these 4 minutes.
Why not just wait till night?
Yeah.
Right. Anyway.
Ridiculous.
Oh, God. People are just, first off, God is never going to direct you to do a shooting spree. Let's be honest about that. Period.
100%.
And second off, it wasn't anywhere near you.
You're 0 for 2. And probably exactly. If we kept going, 0 for everything. So,
well, she might have an insanity plea, but that's just mostly being from Florida. Sorry.
She has to pull out her driver's license, their state ID. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. You're good.
No more questions. So, it was noted by Religion News Service that some churches who were in the path of totality were using the eclipse event as an outreach opportunity. Handing out glasses, giving people a place to park, getting, porta potties on site, all of that kind of stuff. Some people used it. One pastor in Ohio said he has 5, quote, school-age students who they were baptizing during the eclipse. So that is an interesting, how do you feel about that? Is there special meaning to baptism during the eclipse?
Why?
To be raised from darkness into light, into a new life.
Listen, I'm going to go back to meaning making people. Like, you do you, buddy. Like, if that's what you need to feel special.
Imagine if it's going slow and you're the fifth kid and then the sun starts peeking out. You're like, damn it. And you're like,
come on, man.
Flash me already.
I mean, I don't know. I'm like, this is just like, meh, whatever. That's fine.
But what about the outreach in general? I mean, to me, it just sounds like they are providing hospitality.
That's just smart.
Yes.
Right. Like, so we actually, I left.
That's just being good people.
I agree. No, I totally agree. Like, hand out glasses, you let people use your parking lots. I was leaving. I was at the church office yesterday. I was leaving. I left probably about 2:30. No, I left at 2:00. To get home and, you know, just because honestly, what I was more afraid of was people driving during the eclipse and like being bad drivers.
Yes.
So I was like, I'm either going to go home before or I'm going to go home after. Like one or the other. But as I was, this is a church with like a really big open cemetery in the back. And this is an area where there's lots of trees, not a lot of open space. And there were people in the cemetery. And I was like, good. Like, absolutely. By all means. Now, like, I was on my way home, so I didn't stop to talk to him or anything. But, like, of course.
They
like,
weren't wrapped in grave clothes?
They weren't. They were just... Well, at first... You know what? At first, it's funny, because, like, I had that whole thing of, like, I'm either going to leave before or after the eclipse, because I don't want to drive while it's happening. And then as I was driving, I was like, why are those people having a picnic in the cemetery? Like, that's weird. And then I saw them looking up with their glasses on, and I was like, oh, right. Like, you're just dumb. Like,
there you go.
You just can't remember what's going on.
There you go.
But, like, I mean, I think it's the same. To me, this baptism during this time is no different than the people that get married on, like, February 29th, right? Or whatever. Like they just want theirs
yes.
to be.
I heard of a wedding happening during the eclipse.
I expected to see more of that, actually. Like,
right.
By very pagany type Wiccan people. Like, I really.
Right.
The only thing I did see that I didn't know about was that I guess there are some like indigenous, like Native American tribes that have like series of prayer days during this time,
mm-hmm.
Which I didn't know about. But I still don't know a lot about it, but something like the Presbyterian like witness posted something about it. And I was like, oh, but that makes sense. Like that it would be some sort of prayer ritual or something like that, you know?
Yes. I heard a couple of things on that as well. One, I don't remember which indigenous tribe this was, but they do a banging of pots and pans during the eclipse to chase away the frog that's eating the sun.
Eating the sun
again, right? It's like blocking the sun or eating the sun. So they would bang pots and pans to make it end,
to wake it up because it fell asleep like a child. I don't know.
Yeah, so that was one I heard that was interesting. But again, that's an, you know, an older sort of pre-scientific,
yeah,
mythological, cultural view,
right,
that I think it's just fine to continue to embrace, holding it in that sort of light.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Enough eclipse. I think we've eclipsed this topic.
Have we eclipsed to death?
So I know you're excited about this one. Was Jesus a vegetarian? There's a new documentary called Christspiracy, which says yes. They suggest, for example, that the temple during Jesus' time was operating as a commercial slaughterhouse. And Jesus, by overturning the tables, driving out the animals, was condemning animal sacrifice and particularly the slaughterhouse aspect. And so one of the quotes from one of the filmmakers is the fact that 4 days before he was crucified, he goes in and shuts down the temple to basically stop animal sacrifice shows he was one of the most hardcore animal activists, the OG animal activist. And so Jesus sacrificed his life, not just for humans, but to stop the killing of animals as well. So what do you think? I've never heard this take before this. Do you give credence to this? Does this, even if you held this view, does this prove Jesus was a vegetarian?
I think it was pretty clear from scripture that Jesus was mad at the money changers. And this is a stretch to me. This is a big stretch.
Well, and culturally, was vegetarianism a thing?
I was going to say, like, I actually think it would be dangerous.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting because, and I'm not trying to necessarily make a one-on-one comparison or whatever, but like when we've traveled to Cuba, for instance, and somebody's a vegetarian that comes with us, like that is a concept that they're like, how is that safe? How is that healthy?
Yeah.
How is that? Like, how are you able to sustain yourself on rice? And
it's similar when I've gone to Spain.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's just, I just don't know that culturally, I mean, yeah, like the Mediterranean, of course, has tons of vegetation for sure. But I don't know.
But was Jesus at Passover?
Things people come up with.
Yeah. Was Jesus at Passover saying, I'll have the tofu lamb?
Right. Like well, that's what I was thinking as it was like talking about this and Holy Week and stuff. As I was like, he definitely would have eaten lamb.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
Now I will, like, friends of mine, I do have very good friends that are vegetarian or vegan that are so because of scripture. Like they read Genesis in a way that is like, no, we are not supposed to be eating like that. We're supposed to be above that. And scripture teaches us that we're to honor. And, you know, I can see using as an argument. I really have seen that argument. This one, I just.
It feels thin.
Like it was a slaughterhouse. It was where kosher things came from. Like,
right.
But I don't think that, I guess I'm confused why Jesus would have had a problem with that. Like, that's what I'm confused by.
Right. Right. Because the whole religion and the text supported that practice. So, you know, were they going beyond and killing extra animals? You know, I the text doesn't support that that's what Jesus was upset about.
Right. So, yeah, I'm very confused by this. Okay, first off, an animal theologian, like.
Is that what it says?
It does.
An animal theologian. This is kind of like the animal chaplain.
I know. I'm a little, you know, I have not been able to stop talking about this animal chaplain thing. I really haven't. So, like, I want to know what an animal theologian is. And then there's a retired religious studies professor from UNC Charlotte. Like, temples were slaughterhouses. Like, yeah, they were. Like, that was the ritual of buying an animal, offering. It was an offering to God. Like, of course that was that. And that is where the, like, kosher, like, we still have, you can still buy meat that was slaughtered in a certain way.
Yeah, that was appropriately, religiously, you know, overseen.
Yeah, exactly. We still have that. So I guess where I'm going is, like, I'm if you want to be vegetarian. But where my issue is that, like, that almost, like, it almost takes away the politicalness of what Jesus was doing. And I kind of have issue with that, like, because I don't think that vegetarianism was the big activist issue of the day, or even I don't think that the big issue of the day, maybe I'm wrong, was, like, proper. It wasn't animal cruelty the way that we have it today in slaughterhouses. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. I mean,
like,
it was,
this is a today problem that you're projecting. I mean, it's really like the eclipse conversation. Like, you're projecting a today problem on something from the past.
Right. It's like a converse of the eclipse sort of thing.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think this is, again, projecting our, and I, you know, am I guilty of this at times as I read scripture and want it to say things I want it to say? Maybe, you know, I try to be faithful to the text as best I can, but this feels like they're going beyond that, because when you're an animal theologian, you're going to see what, are you going to see what you want to see? I don't know. I hate to say that, but.
Just see, like, Jesus was an animal activist, like.
Right, he's the OG animal activist. That feels, no, I'm not sorry.
I mean, like, now I'm going through in my mind all the times Jesus used an animal, like the donkeys, the multiple donkey, like donkey carried Mary when she was pregnant.
Ooh, that's why.
It was in the womb. Right? He was just like, this is ridiculous. She should be walking at 9 months pregnant. That's, come on. Like,
wasn't there a story in, like, an apocryphal gospel where he, like, throws dust in the air and it becomes pigeons, or he crumples something and it becomes a bird? I feel like there's a
story. Yeah, maybe. No, I probably. There's the donkey on Palm Sunday. Like, I'm trying to think.
Right.
The pigs. Well, like, the pigs.
The pigs.
He puts the demons off of them and they run off the cliff and die.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. That's the story that counters this.
How is that an animal activist to say, like, well, here, I'm gonna.
Because the pigs weren't kosher. That's why they had to go off the cliff with you.
I mean, go on. I mean, and he really just, like, pigs were bad, right? Like, don't throw the pearls before swine. Like, don't give pigs anything. Pigs are disgusting. Pigs are terrible. Yeah.
Pearls before swine. Yeah, you're nailing it. I like it.
But yeah, no, it's really just the donkeys, I think, is like, okay, but there's the demons and the pigs, and I'm sorry, like, I don't know what to do with this and with that. Like,
yeah, those don't align.
Right. Nope.
I wonder how he deals with that, if he deals with that in his work. I bet he's got a answer to that, and it may be that because of the sort of kosher rules of Judaism, maybe Jesus made exceptions for non-kosher animals like pigs, but I don't know.
Okay, but here's where you lose me, because at best, Jesus would have been pescatarian, because he literally eats broiled fish.
He made breakfast of fish.
on the shore of Galilee after the resurrection, like eating broiled fish.
Nails it.
Do you have anything to eat?
Nails it.
And the loaves and fishes, like.
Yes. You are wow.
Pescatarian at best.
You
at
just
best.
Took this animal theologian. Which again does not mean we don't affirm ethical treatment of animals. Affirm
absolutely
people who feel led to not eat animals, and I'm super sympathetic.
I actually think there's so much scripture that backs up your vegetarianism without making Jesus a
right.
animal activist.
Right.
Like,
right. Correct.
And again, it's okay to be an animal activist and be against our slaughterhouse policies without bringing Jesus into it.
Right.
Like,
right.
I just y'all stop.
Everybody wants that Jesus cred, though, you know, like if.
I don't know. I mean, at this point, his name's just used all the time. Does he have any credibility anymore?
Oh,
like, does the man. Name. We might have to start calling him something else, you know.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, his name is an expletive, so
I mean, yeah, for real. God. These people are nuts. I'm just going to say it.
So,
sorry, y'all.
This was one piece I was going to add. So,
okay.
They had a contract with Netflix for this documentary, and then when Netflix saw it, they said, "You need to edit such and such and such." They said, "We're not going to do that. We need our full message to go out." So they canceled, they broke off their contract with Netflix, and now they're just like self-promoting. I'm like, you realize the audience you just lost?
I mean, first off, what is Netflix doing getting into like a deal with these people? Second off, like, what?
I know. I mean, on the one hand, I will say, like, Netflix is a big corporation. They tell you to edit your work for their purposes. I give them kudos for saying our principles are greater than us being willing to edit and not give the message we feel led to give. I give them credit for that. They'll lose money on this that they would have gotten. Mm-hmm. So I kind of respect that. But I do. But I'm also curious, what did Netflix look at and be like, you know, we don't need that.
I think I'm pretty sure it was like, Jesus was the OG animal activist.
just spitballing. Yeah.
Like, I definitely don't want to see it, and I'm super curious.
We'll have Ogan watch it for us.
Oh my God, because he needs another thing to watch.
Hey, he's always ahead of us, or at least me.
I know. No. We're like, anyway. Yeah, for real. Well, thank you, friends, for tuning into Pub Theology Live. You can show your love for the show by becoming a supporter on Patreon. Get access to pre- and post-show banter and more. Visit patreon.com/ptlive to get started. And a big thank you to our current patrons. Our top cities tuning in this week are Buenos Aires, Argentina, Dover, Delaware. Somebody was on a flight. And Ashburn, Virginia. You can watch the videos of these conversations on Facebook Live. And if you'd like to start a Pub Theology gathering in your town, find support and resources at pubtheology.com. So until next time, friends, drink responsibly and keep those conversations flowing. Ooh. Oh my gosh, that was weird today.
Apologies about my internet.
I don't know. It happens. It was the eclipse.
It was the eclipse. I should have switched earlier. It got a little wonky there toward the end, but it'll be great. And it was fun to chat eclipse. And you need to get outside, so I should let you go. So
I know. I'm going to go outside. It is so pretty outside.